from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we'll be in the broadcast booth tomorrow for Miami Hurricane Baseball ACC Network Extra on the ESPN app with Weecho Hernandez, former Hurricane, and my television broadcast partner, Weecho. Hurricanes coming down the stretch here. Tomorrow, FIU. Then this weekend on the road against Virginia Tech. They just took 2 out of 3 from BYU, but again, could not finish off a sweep. It's been a tough season for Miami Hurricane baseball.
Yeah, no doubt, Joe. I mean, it's amazing first to think that we have eight games left in this season. It felt like yesterday we were just getting kicked off. And, of course, this Hurricane team early in the season got a lot of people excited. You know, they had a lot of comeback wins early on against some real good teams. And just midway through the season, they just kind of ran out of gas. And it's been tough since then. As you mentioned, with 8 left, they're sitting 4 games under 500. So they have some heavy lifting to do if they have any aspirations of playing in the postseason.
They've had a ton of injuries, lost 2, maybe more, from their bullpen. Brian Walters doesn't look like he's going to looks like he's going to maybe be shut down and so be ready for next year. We'll see how that plays out. But he was coming off an arm injury, so they're going to kind of monitor him anyway. But Sear is out. Torres is out. Scanlon got hurt last week. They've had a ton of injuries on a ball club that really couldn't afford any injuries.
Yeah, you know, you look at how things turned out this year for that roster, and you know, go back to last year. This is a team last year that was loaded. They had a lot of talent. They played well, and unfortunately for that club last year, they got cold at the wrong time. And as everyone knows, college baseball, you got to get hot late in the season and ride that wave into the postseason, whether it's conference play, then regionals, and hopefully Omaha. And for Miami, they picked the wrong time of the year to get cold last year. But that roster last year was loaded. They had a bunch of guys go on and play pro ball. So you lose that much from a roster, and then you have a turnover at the head coach position. You get late to the recruiting cycle as far as the transfer portal is concerned. And you kind of knew going into this year that not only did you lose a lot of players, you really didn't have a full complement of days, you know, attacking that transfer portal. So for J.D. Arteaga and his coaching staff, they went into the season thin. Then you look at the way they started. I mean, they got some pretty good offensive production. I think at third base, Cuvée, it's hard to argue with the results you're getting from there. Torres was off to an incredible start. Got a little cold as of late, and, of course, now he gets injured. So when you have a team that was light in depth and a team with a lot of question marks coming to the season, and then you lose some of these key players, you mentioned Torres and Sear, it's hard. I mean, you're really going, digging deep into that roster, trying to get someone to really step up. And they've had some great performances. I mentioned Cuvée. Gonzalez at second base has had a great year for them. I mean, he's been, as steady as any of the players they've had on that roster. But they just don't have enough firepower. And outside of them getting hot here down the stretch, I just don't see that changing over the next 8 games.
They're going to have, I think they're going to have a different perspective this year in the offseason, probably a full year of them being able to use some NIL and all that stuff. But I think a different perspective on recruiting, where they recruit, how they recruit, what kind of player they're looking for in recruiting. All that being said, is Cuvée the guy you build around?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to, right? I mean, he's had one of the best freshman campaigns of any Hurricane in the history of the program, and there's some impressive names that you could go back and look at. You know, everyone talks about Pat Burrell, but beyond Burrell, you had Ryan Braun. Back in the days, Mike Fiore. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have come through this program as freshmen that have had great years. So I think you built around them, there's no doubt. But you start looking at that team, and you're like, okay, next year, you got Cuvée coming back at third. Gonzalez, I think he'd come back. I mean, he is draft eligible, but I would think it'd be in his best interest to come back and play another year at second base. Torres, you would expect to come back. And then what do you do at shortstop? Does Jimenez have a good summer and a good fall and step up and produce at the shortstop position? Or does someone else come in? And I don't know the answer to that, of course. But, you know, pretty much the infield is intact. You're going to have to replace the catcher position. Both those guys are going to move on. You know, so what happens behind the plate is a question mark. And then the outfield, you're going to have some question marks there as well. There's going to be some shuffling that happens out there. But to me, the biggest issue is what are they going to go out there and do when it comes to pitching? The pitching was really what held them back this year, especially the bullpen. And they have to get better arms, and they have to get a lot deeper in that bullpen.
We had this talk the other day. There is some discussion whether or not it's going to happen or not. We'll have to wait and see that the NCAA is going to make baseball a full scholarship sport rather than the 11.7 that handcuffs many schools, much like Miami. They would go to a full scholarship, become a full scholarship sport. If that was to happen, what would that mean for the University of Miami?
Yeah, I think for the Miamis of college baseball, and what I mean by Miamis, the higher end from a tuition standpoint, schools that are small enrollment population, it's going to be a huge win. I think in today's game, it's going to be tough for anyone to sustain, you know, dynasties like we saw back when Miami, you know, was doing really well. There's so much parity in baseball now. So I think if they go to a full scholarship sport and they're able to have a roster complete with scholarships, Miami's going to be one of the big winners. Wake Forest, Duke, programs like that, I think across the country will be the winners. But I think everyone wins. I think the sport wins. So even though the Miamis and the Wake Forest and the Dukes and the Boston Colleges, you know, they might have a bigger advantage, I think it's a huge win for college baseball, and I'm really hoping that happens. It's been long overdue.
You and Don Bailey are two of the smartest guys I know, especially when it comes to finances. So I'll toss this in your direction. Where we are in college athletics, whether it's college football, college baseball, college basketball, the goal now is for schools is you want to become a destination for student athletes, or maybe they're just going to become athletes. I don't know if they'll be student athletes anymore, but you want to become a destination. And the way you become a destination right now is through not only the facilities, which might be less important, it's obviously through NIL and collective and all that. And we see what's going on in football, that they're doing pretty well. And we see what's going on a little bit in basketball in terms of NIL and that stuff. At the University of Miami, that's going to be important, right? Because when potential athletes see, hey, they're doing really well in football, they're doing really well in basketball, women's basketball, and it's a level playing field in terms of the finances, that's going to help baseball and the other sports, right?
Yeah, and there's no doubt. I mean,
and they also have the right people behind this doing it, correct?
Yeah, there's no doubt from a financial standpoint. I think you're dead on. It's definitely going to help. You know, your comment about it, you know, being a destination, I think there's a lot that goes into that, Joe. And I think that's great insight because, you know, you think of the education, and of course, education should be first. And as much as we'd like for everyone to think, yeah, it is first, the reality is some athletes go to the program and it's not first in their mind. This is a bridge to their next, you know, to their profession, in many cases being professional athletics. But when you think of it being a destination, I think you know, you mentioned the NIL, you mentioned the education, you mentioned facilities, which are important. I'll tell you one thing that doesn't get mentioned very often is it's what is it like post-graduation for those student athletes? And what I mean by that is, what is the community going to be like for those graduating athletes that don't go on to play pro ball, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case might be? And I remember, and I go back to my Coach Frazier days, and I end up in Miami because Coach Frazier sat in my living room with my parents, and he asked me, where are you going to live the rest of your life? And I go, you know, I'd love Miami. I don't see myself leaving Miami. And he told me, he's like, if you go up to Florida State, which is the other school I was considering, and go play in Tallahassee, they're going to love you up there. And when you come back to Miami, very few people are going to remember or know who you are. Come play baseball in Miami, have a great college career, maybe go play pro ball. But when it's all over for you and you come back and you, for the rest of your life, are going to be known as the guy that played baseball in Miami, that's going to mean a lot to you in the business world. And Joe, I live that every day. It's been 30 years since I played in the program, and I still have, there's not a week that passes by that it doesn't come up somehow in conversation. So there's another aspect to having a destination that doesn't get a lot of attention. I think Miami is a great community for that.
Yeah, I know. I think I have that conversation a lot with players, and I hope some of their representatives understand that Miami is a very interesting community. They will always put their arms around you when you come back, if you play here, especially if you have success here. So I think that's a very, very astute point. Before we move on, how about the ACC in baseball? I don't know if you can overlook the ACC because all their teams are ranked. Many of their teams are ranked. But you got great baseball in the ACC. Clemson, Florida State, NC State, North Carolina, Virginia, Duke, Wake Forest. All these teams are ranked inside the ACC this year.
Well, depending on which poll you look at, you just mentioned six of the top 12 teams in Division I baseball come from the ACC, starting, you know, at number two with Clemson. You go to the coaches poll, it's basically the same thing. I mean, you have great baseball being played in the ACC, and it's always been the case. And it's not to take away from other conferences. The SEC, obviously, you know, they have their fair share of teams in the top 20 as well. But, you know, the conference is so deep. It's not like it used to be where maybe you had two or three at the very top of each conference. Each of the divisions. I mean, they're six deep. You'll see it this year. Miami's struggling to just get into the conference tournament. It's really become a very deep conference, and it's represented in the polls. And Clemson's a team that, go back to that team. That team got hot last year. They came out of nowhere last year, kind of made their name back in college baseball last year, and they rode that into this year. And Florida State, they were in a very similar position last year than Miami's this year. I mean, Florida State had a historically bad year last year, and here they are, depending on what poll you look at, they're in the top 10.
13 of the top 15 schools in college baseball, 13 of the top 15 in the rankings, are either from the ACC or the SEC.
Yeah, amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. And that just shows you that, you know, weather-wise, obviously you have a bit of an advantage, you know, as far as baseball is concerned and the ability to play year-round. So these schools, a lot of them are recruiting in their backyard. But you can make the same argument about California and Texas, where weather is favorable, you know, not 12 months a year, but pretty much as close as possible. And it's just incredible the level of baseball that's being played in those two conferences.
By the way, you mentioned California. You can't find USC or UCLA in the rankings. You can find Cal Santa Barbara, and you can find Cal Irvine, which just goes to show you that today kids believe that they can go almost anywhere and play baseball and be discovered.
Yeah, and part of that, Joe, is what you and I do, you know, when we cover these games. And we've talked about that when we broadcast our games. Back in the day, if you were on TV 10 to 15 times, you were one of the premier programs. And fortunately, Miami was always one of those, a lot of that because of Coach Frazier and what he did. But now, I mean, most major universities have their games covered on ESPN, whether it's through the ESPN app, whether it's through, you know, the national broadcast that they have. I mean, so kids just want to play, right? And if they get a chance to not only play but be able to play on TV, they're moving around. They're not staying in their backyard. And if they're from California and they know they could go to North Carolina and play, they're gone. And that you're seeing that a lot.
And most likely, there are very few I don't know, diamonds in the rough. Scouts are going to find you one way or the other. They can find you on, as you mentioned, on TV. They can find you through all the video that they have available to them now. So kids know they can maybe save some money, go to a smaller school, not pay as much money, and the scouts are still going to find them.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, if you look at what's happened with youth baseball and specifically the high school level, this whole travel baseball thing, which has been around for a while now, but it's at the highest level that I could ever remember. So college coaches before would, you know, go recruit at high schools. They go to, you know, watch the local high school and go see one or two players that day. Now they go to these tournaments, and all the top players from a region are at these tournaments. So the recruiting has changed from, you know, focusing on one or two players here or there to just hitting these big showcase tournaments and be able to see, you know, 30, 40, 50 players at once. So that the ability to be seen is definitely a lot easier besides just what the TV, but just in person as well.
All right. Well, tomorrow we got Miami and FIU, and then wrap up the season. We'll wrap up the season when they come back from Blacksburg against Pittsburgh.
Yep. You know, as I mentioned, they look at the schedule and it's amazing. Just 8 games left. FIU on their schedule twice, the home and away. Those 2 games are big for them. And, you know, their biggest challenge is going to be when they go on the road this weekend and play Virginia Tech. That Virginia Tech team, not one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the ACC, but this is a team that's also feels like they could get hot at the right time and make some noise. Currently, they're sitting at 13-11 in the ACC, and they've won 31 games, only lost 14. So they've had a lot of success this year, and they're looking to be peaking at the right time. So for Miami, a team that's desperate to really string out, you know, 6-7 wins here down the stretch to at least get over 500, they're going to have some heavy lifting to do.
By the way, I do think this is a blip on the radar this season. I think this time next year we'll be talking about a much different type of Miami baseball team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think most fans going to the season kind of were hopeful because I think Hurricane fans are always hopeful. But I think there was this level of, okay, this might be a year we're going to take some punches to the gut. But we feel like we're going in the right direction as far as fans are concerned. And I think early on, the expectation was raised a little bit because of some of the success they had to start the season. But I think people feel good about this coaching staff. I mean, JD's got a lot of followers, rightfully so. I mean, this guy was the winningest pitcher in the history of our program. He's been a great coach for the program for a long time. Despite being a first-time head coach, I think he is the right guy. And credit to him, he's put, and I've said this many times this year, he has surrounded himself with some of the best coaches in the country, and I'm interested to see what they're going to do after a full year. And as you are, I'm very optimistic about what this offseason will bring for them and what kind of roster they're going to bring back next year.
All right, very good. I'll see you tomorrow at the ballpark.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Always a pleasure, buddy.
All right, that's Wicho Hernandez, former Hurricane baseball player, joining us and broadcast partner on ACC Network Extra.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.